Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Our guest today is Allison Sutter. She's going to be speaking with us about how to take a problem and use it as a tool to advance ourselves, and also how to address issues like self-doubt. Both good issues to talk about as we reintegrate from incarceration. Allison Sutter, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I would love to know how things are going for you in your reintegration. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, M-A-T-H-E-R-S. R-O-D-N-E-Y at yahoo.com.
Falling sun, the night has come. But the ground, there is no sound. What do you mean that me? I'm such a cold creep. You're so bad that I'm so bad. You want me to die? 38 points straight. Just one bullet.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Allison Sutter. Allison has a book called Accelerate Your Mojo, 7 Simple Steps to Ignite Your Ignition and Take Your Fear and Unleash the Real You. And I'm sure I didn't say it right, but we'll get it corrected soon, I'm sure. Allison, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so we can get an idea of where you're coming from?
Okay. So I'm a contemporary spiritual teacher who actually blends practical self-help information. I started in education. I went into holistic health, ventured into the personal development self-help arena, and then ended up coming back to my own material, because I took what I knew in education and I knew about all these other, self-help and spirituality, and I put it into a seven-step system to help with the issues that I personally was dealing with. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, it's actually helping other people. So,
so you were a teacher?
I taught elementary school for many years.
Uh-huh. And the thing that jumped out at me as I was looking through your material is, I really like this, you mentioned that people should be able to take their problems and use them as tools for mm-hmm. a positive transformation. Talk to us about that. That's the kind of thing we like on this show. Tell us about how that works.
Well, okay, so the common practice is, especially in self-help personal development, is kind of the approach of sort of eliminating fear, living fearlessly, it's almost the implication is you're supposed to get to some pinnacle point where mm-hmm. you don't have problems and challenges, and that's what we're all striving for. And I'm like, that's total nonsense. So what I have done, first of all, this was for me to remember. This was something that I wanted to get to a point where I understood why we need to have these, I call it contrast. You know, mm-hmm. the difference between two things is relationship. It's a relatable thing. So going forward in life, if you know that you're never going to be without a problem or a challenge, and that when that comes up, how to use it as a feedback mechanism, how to use it to understand where you are in relation to where you want to be, to not mm-hmm. look at the situation as a sense being a victim of something, but knowing that it's a natural aspect of being a human being, then you're sort of empowered to look at the situation as data and not a reason to feel like you're a nobody or you're never going to have a happy life or mm-hmm. a victim, right? So mm-hmm. it's a total mind shift. Mm-hmm. From the conversation you're going to hear out of pretty much everybody else's mouth, which is like, oh my God, I can't believe she did that to you. Or, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you. Like there's a misunderstanding. There's a sense of like, a victimhood that comes with even everyday conversation when you explain, what your problem is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually a thinking error to take that victim kind of stance. But another thing you talk about is how we, And I think that all of us do this. We experience, you know, these feelings of self-doubt and maybe I'm not worthy, or maybe just an anxiety, like this perpetual feeling that something's about to happen. I think we all go through periods like that, but you also talk about how to turn that as well. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that today, too.
Well, that is normal for every human being. And those who say they don't are lying to you, because every person goes through this aspect of doubting or fearing or having some, you know, a hiccup in their ability to understand what's going on. So what I have done, as I've said, and again, my work is spiritual. There's a spiritual basis to it. So I say, I come from the perspective of saying, okay, we're non-physical energy. We're a consciousness that lives on. So if you start there, and you also know that you're pure love from this place of non-physical, like that's our starting point. And then I say, okay, so then we've created this perspective called human. We come into this human form. We're human beings. But we've forgotten we have this relationship with this non-physical spirit aspect of us. We think that it's somehow left behind, but it's current and active and present. And everybody who's listening to the show and everybody who's had some kind of, you know, massive hiccup in their life. So this place of being pure positive energy is present in us right now as we're talking about this. And then I've said, okay, so how do we know where we are in relationship to this pure positive aspect of us? Mm-hmm. Well, I put it into a guidance system, like an emotional spectrum, like all the way from, you know, euphoric and self-love to doubt and grief and despondency and jealousy and all these. It's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So when you're down and you can be self-aware enough to know that I'm feeling fearful or self-doubt or anxious or jealous, it's your indicating mechanism that says I have misaligned myself. I am no longer in alignment with this pure positive energy. And I know it's there because I can feel it. There's a relationship. If you didn't have this center point, there wouldn't be no relativity. You wouldn't even know you felt bad, right? Because there has to be a relationship between two things. Mm-hmm. There has to be a feeling good in order to feel bad. So it's a guidance mechanism to let you know where you are at that particular moment on that particular topic. So, you know, this could go anywhere from relationships to careers to jobs to, you know, incarceration to all of these things that we try to make sense of. Mm-hmm. And so here's the kicker, though, because when you're in this bowl of self-doubt or anxiety, you don't have access to the solutions, the ideas, the imaginings that are your perfect solutions. You're cut off from them. You don't have access to them. And this is the aspect of my work that's your total self, is because the reason you want to align over time, get used to aligning and knowing where you are in your alignment, is because the solutions that are perfect for you, for whatever thing you're dealing with, and this is also going along the lines of how do you use problems as a feedback mechanism, you got to know that your perfect solutions reside in this place of alignment. So getting used to and practicing, getting there more often than not, whether that's meditation or reading or walking or exercise or whatever it is, it behooves us to recognize when we're out of alignment and then get used to doing whatever means we need to get back in there, because that's where our perfect and each person's solutions mm-hmm. are unique to them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to have the same solutions. And so it's literally it's the ideal way to maneuver, because you're never going to be without fear or anxiety, because it'd be like burning your fingertips off and going, great, now I can touch the stove. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is that really that bright? Do you really want to burn your flesh, or do you want to know when you're touching something that's too hot? The same way you want to know when you're out of alignment, because your solutions don't exist there. You're not going to find them. There are solutions, mm-hmm. but they're not the best ones, you know?
I kind of see as the basic premise of what you write, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I very well could be wrong about this, but the perception of our consciousness kind of defines our reality, and so we want our perception to be, I think you talk about having fun, you know, that's like our purpose.
Yep.
Am I right to assume that it's our perception of ourselves that really defines us?
Absolutely. 100%. Like who you perceive yourself to be, which can be identified when you, you know, most of the time people can identify how they feel, their active beliefs, which define their perceptions, by just listening. Right. I'm such an asshole or whatever. I can't believe this keeps happening to me. Their feedback mechanism is working all the time. And so your perception of yourself is incredibly important to whether you feel good or feel bad. It's essential.
And, you know, people that have been incarcerated, the reason they were incarcerated, it's not just one thing normally that they've done. It's you know, the courts have given them a chance a couple of times probably, and they just keep messing up. And then so finally you get locked up and you're put in this environment that is just totally hell. It's just it's horrible. And so I don't know how. Unless you really work on yourself and you do the kinds of things that you're talking about, you can get yourself turned around. It takes a lot of self examination, and you've just been beat up so much by the time you get out. And then it continues when you get out, when you start job searches and trying to rekindle relationships and so forth. And so that's why I like what you're doing, because it helps people, you know, try to figure out a way to get back on track and to move in the right direction. And I like the things you say. Let's talk a little bit specifically about the book. I'm curious, you went from teaching. Now, were you having these, I mean, you know, these are kind of deep thoughts for someone who's teaching cursive. Okay.
Well, so yeah. Okay. I mean, so it were kind you of goes having these even farther though?
Were you having these issues during your teaching career? The reason I ask is I was a teacher before my incarceration for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. My wife and two of my children are now teachers, and so you know it's kind of in the blood around here. So, were you having serious issues with defining yourself and so forth while you were teaching?
Well, I started out with, my sister was in rehab by the time she was 13. She gave me my first beer at 11 underneath the stairs.
That's young.
Yeah. Well, there was, I mean, my whole between, I write about this in the book. There's a whole section where I talk about what happened. I was suicidal. I was severely depressed. You know, this whole issue with being a family who never talked about this, and then having a sister who was pretty much, defined as psychotic sometimes. I mean, running away all the time, severe, you know, emotional complications. And here I'm this quiet kid. So I have this, you know, thing going on between 11 and 20. And then I'm just, you know, depressed. My parents divorced at 18. My mom dies at 20. I go off. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I have these, but the thing is, when my mom died, well, I happened to be by her side when she passed on. And so what I saw as an emotionally sensitive individual was the transference of energy from she had rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. She was in severe pain most of her life. I could barely hug her because I thought she was going to break. So I saw this individual go from really conflicted and really physical, a large amount of physical pain, to the moment she transitioned, it was pure positive energy. And I knew it, but I didn't know it, but I knew it. Mm-hmm. So I, of course, you know, there's this desire to understand that eats at you, because you yourself are still conflicted. And, you know, I got postpartum depression and, you know, social anxiety and all of these things. I'm like, this, I need to find something that soothes this. Looking outside of yourself doesn't soothe it. So the people that are incarcerated, you know, it's hard to ignore your physical environment because it's harsh. It's really harsh. But that's not where you're going to find your self-worth. It's not where I was going to find it, you know? Mm-hmm. You just can't look to your outside environment. So I was like, okay, so what else is there, right? What else do we do when we're sitting locked up, whether, you know, you're in a mansion locked up because you just have no way to process life, or you're in a jail cell? Mm-hmm. You need to find a connection with this non-physical aspect of you. Here's the other thing that bugs me, is people go, you can't find it till you die. I'm like, no, actually, it's present in the people sitting in the jail cell right now. And they can find their sense of peace that is euphoric by simply connecting and aligning with the real them. That's the thing that I want them to understand, is that I don't believe in evil. I think the people that, you know, when we do things, and everybody's guilty of this, doing things that are mean-spirited, are because we're out of alignment. That's the only reason. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how many times you've done it. You're going to go back to this pure positive energy. 100%. There is no hereafter that's going to, you know, be like, this concept of hell is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's, you go back to pure positive energy, but here's the thing, you can access it now, no matter where you are, no matter what you were doing, no matter what you've done. And so the world's going to continue to judge you and me. Absolutely. They're going to find our faults, and they're the ones who are going to, you know, gnaw on them. But the thing is, we can change our experience by finding this connection with our non-physical self, which is the basis of, you know, it's connected to infinite intelligence. It's connected to all of this stuff. And you can find that sense of peace, that sense of love that is only available through this portal. You won't find it anywhere else. Don't look for it. Because mm-hmm. people are going to judge you till the sun sets.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
But you don't have to be an ex-offender to get judged by people. I mean, you know, we all get judged, but by people who think they know what's right. There's nothing more frustrating than someone who thinks they are certain that they're right about something, but they're obviously not. I don't know. Just a little pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, the message to those, if they are, you know, incarcerated or have family members who are listening to have this situation, is mm-hmm. to know that there is a source of love within these people. I do not believe they are wrongdoers, evil, you know, unmanageable, unforgivable. That's all baloney. That's all a human perspective that is mm-hmm. that is conditional, right? Mm-hmm. So many people talk about unconditional love in their marriage vows. They'd have no idea what that means. Unconditional means unconditional. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can find that love is not through the human lens. Is through this connection with this non-physical aspect of you that's connected to infinite intelligence. Yeah. You know, it just is. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but the people that say it isn't are wrong.
Well, what a depressing wrong. Thought to think that you only are going to find this when you die.
I mean, well, the thing is, you can find it now. That's
right.
The thing that's wrong.
Right.
It's like you can have this conversation with the non-physical aspect, and you call it soul, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. You know, it doesn't need a name. It's a knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's the soothing. That's the soothing that I get. When I'm feeling out of sorts, when I'm feeling anxious or doubtful, or I'm like, I go through this sort of mental checklist where I can bring myself physically back into a place of relaxation and comfort, and then continue about my day, because that's what's going to happen. That's where problems and solutions or problems and challenges come into context, is we always have an opportunity to choose. So you go out, you live your life, you find something that's really challenging you. Then you get an opportunity to go, yes or no. Is this going to take me down, or am I going to have this other conversation
right.
with myself where I know that I have value simply because I exist?
I think it's interesting that you were having issues, but you were still able to function. I mean, obviously, you went to college. You went
yep.
through the process of being hired as a teacher, which you mm-hmm. know requires jumping through a lot of hoops. And then those first couple of years of teaching, how long did you teach?
I taught for about 8 years before my mm-hmm. first daughter was born, and then I stayed home. It wasn't fiscally a good idea. I taught in the private system in Chicago. I was like, okay, uh-huh. no.
And so you were still able to function, but you were still having these issues that...
Yeah, parents' night was the most, you know, like, frightening thing. That's why I loved kids. There's no judgment. You know, they're just like, I love you. We're like, cool.
That is unconditional love. The love that a child has for their
yes.
parent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the student for the teacher. It's like, I can get through to kids in a way that nobody else can, because I just, like, I blossom. And I've learned to do that with adults. I've learned
right.
to look past the sense of judgment. And now what I'm known for, that's what clients were telling me. I was trying to teach this goal setting thing and it wasn't working. And what my clients were saying, they're like, I feel less anxious. I feel more connected. I feel better. I'm like, all right, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do.
This looks like a great book. I haven't read it, but I would like to, and I would recommend that other people do as well. Okay, now, I'm going to let you say the name of the book because I butchered it so bad at the beginning. So tell us the name of the book and where we can get it.
Okay. So it's called Accelerate Your Mojo, and it's 7 simple steps to ignite intuition, shake off fear, and unleash the real you. And you can just go to Amazon.
All right. Or,
yeah, easy peasy.
I want to thank you so much for being here today, Allison. This is really good information, and I appreciate you being on the program today.
Well, thank you.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. People at RadioGuestList.com have asked me to give an on-air mention, and they provide guests for me. They've been doing it for years, and they don't charge me a penny for it. And the reason they've asked me to mention is if you want to start a podcast, you can get guests from them too. And the way you do that is just go into RadioGuestList.com and filling out the form there online. And what'll happen is before too long, you're going to start getting a lot of emails about people that want to be on your show. RadioGuestList.com. Thank you so much for being here today, and I want to thank my special guest, Allison Sutter, and to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.